up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Good Anime Palette Podcast. This is episode number 79. It is a really cold day in Hong Kong as of recording, kind of a weird change of weather, but we are indoors, nice and toasty, doing a lot of recordings, and joining me in this deluge of recordings is Will. And I am your other co-host, Jason. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, it's one of the coldest weekends ever recorded for March in any year in Hong Kong. We've got a monsoon that's basically taken over southern China. So that includes us down here as well. So that's why we are living in colder conditions. But we are expecting to have warmer weather coming in. So for those that are listening in Hong Kong, don't worry. The weather is going to perk up a bit in just a couple days.
Here's my hot take. I really like the cold weather.
Yeah, but that's because you live with the air conditioning on 24/7.
Only when I sleep, but generally yeah. I like cold weather. That's just me. I'm weird, I guess.
Yeah. You know, you're not weird because you like cold weather. You're just weird in general.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
You don't have to put the cold weather veil on.
Yeah, there's no compliment or insult there. It's just a fact. I totally get it. But what's up, guys? We forgot to wish all you guys a happy Chinese New Year. I hope everything is good. But let's get into our topic of discussion today.
Actually, specifically, it's not just Chinese New Year, but happy Lunar New Year. Because not every place that supports it and celebrates it is Chinese.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yep. No, that's right.
I mean, they celebrate it in Japan, Korea. They celebrate it in Vietnam, Thailand. So that's why it's like there's always that debate of calling it Chinese New Year versus Lunar New Year, in which case it's like if you're in China or you are Chinese, Chinese New Year. If you're not, call it whatever you like.
But it does follow the lunar calendar. So regardless, yeah, that's how we're going to celebrate it with everyone and hopefully you guys have a good one.
Yep. So as Jason mentioned, new recording today. We've got a lot going on, but to kick things off, we're going to be doing episode 79, which is going over office and workplaces in anime/manga. So we've done a lot of episodes that have covered a lot of things that are more sort of like geared towards like a younger demographic, specifically like high school settings, university settings. But now we're actually, you know, we've graduated. We've passed the bar. We are now moving into the quote-unquote real world. We are now entering a phase where we are, you know, contributing citizens of society.
Yeah, and a lot of people, manual labor aside, will probably be, I guess, white-collared workers, which work in offices, push papers. Still a necessary job for a lot of people. And surprise, surprise, there's anime and manga on it. Yeah, it's a very big deal in Japan.
I think as well, like outside of Japan, because Japan's academic calendar is a little bit different compared to the rest of the world. Because I think they go from the beginning of the year through the end of the year, whereas you know a lot of you know Western institutions, even some down in Asia as well, like in Hong Kong, it follows more like you know a semester-based system that starts in August or September through to May to June. So that should mean that people are either in their final semester or in preparation for applying for jobs. So if you're one of those that are, you know, looking to, you know, get out of university, get your degree, and start looking for jobs, good luck. I hope everything works out for you guys. It's a tough market, but hopefully you guys find something, or at least you tough it out.
Yeah, and if you're toughing it out at your current job or trying to find a new one, good luck as well. So we thought we would dedicate this kind of episode on office and workplaces. So,
it's funny as well because, you know, as we are recording this, I actually just started my new job yesterday.
Yeah, so, congratulations.
Yeah. So I think the timing is just perfect. So that means that a lot of the things we'll be talking about are very much, you know, like real experiences coming from the both of us here. So, yeah. So just to get things a little bit sort of like clear in terms of how we're going about with this episode, because of the fact that when we talk about workplaces and office spaces in general, there's a bit of a massive umbrella that certain subgenres, categories, and themes can fall under it. I know you probably don't want to hear a lot about explanations, disclaimers, and definitions and whatnot, but for this, we'll keep it short. So essentially, when we want to talk about workplaces, we kind of mean specifically in a office setting or in a setting in which more sort of like clerical work or like professional work goes in. Not to say that the other occupations aren't professional, but in the sense of like things that we won't really talk too much about would be like, I guess, if we go back into talking about high school / university life, we won't be talking about like student clubs or societies and things like that. Because whilst a lot of the stuff they do kind of mimic a workplace setting, that specifically is not a workplace setting. It's more an extracurricular thing. So it would
Or they do part-time work, right?
Yeah. So we wouldn't be going over like a school-based anime where, you know, one of the main characters or one of the characters in general is like on balancing, you know, my school life and supporting, you know, my expenses by picking up a part-time job. That's not essentially the focus, because in the end, the primary theme or tag for that series is more school-based than workplace-based.
Yeah. Going off of that, there is also a huge subgenre within this that is focused on the different types of settings that is considered a workplace, right?
Yeah.
So, like, for example, there is a huge amount of maid cafe animes or cafes animes, like working and whatnot. Yeah,
restaurant animes or anything that's, like, kind of tied to, like, F&B.
Yeah, food and beverage. So we are going to have that, like, set aside. We probably will do something along those lines, an episode topic on that. Specifically, because there is a lot, but we really want to focus on the pencil, paperwork, the clerical work that is focused within the subgenre, within the realm of anime and manga. So that's really what we're going for. And I guess the other thing that we are mentioning is that there is like these kind of traditional, which as you said, Will, your kind of office cubicle kind of, like when you watch the live action, you know, not live action, when you watch the Office series, right? Versus a non-traditional workplace, let's say like Amagi Brilliant Park, where you work at a park where that is a workplace, but it's not your typical kind of conventional workplace. So we wanted to have that distinction. We're mainly focusing on the more traditional cubicle type of environment.
Yeah, so things like, you know, especially when it comes to F&B, given that that within itself also has a lot of subgenres like isekais, reincarnations, romance, drama, comedy, and all that, it's not necessarily the point of focus in which the workplace is like the main focus. So things like Restaurant to Another World, or if we even think back onto like our gourmet episode when we talked about like Yotsuro Biyori, the one which is like, you know, the five men who run a little cafe in four men who run a little like, you know, tea house / cafe in the outskirts of Tokyo. Those things, whilst of course there are workplace themes on it, because of the fact that Ryuri kind of focused on the gourmet / food and beverage aspect of it, it would be a bit sort of like a overlap trying to talk about those specific series in this particular episode. So we will try to keep it to a minimum when we're talking about F&B. But this doesn't mean it doesn't fall under this umbrella. It's just that this umbrella is quite large and broad.
Yeah, so we want to box ourselves into a certain extent to make it concise and detailed for what we're trying to go for this episode. The other thing that I also want to mention is we have some honorable mentions that for one reason or another, which we will say now, we couldn't really wholeheartedly recommend, but the three of these are actually really good. So we will just
going off the recommendations already. Okay.
No, I mean, they are just honorable mentions, so we'll get it over real quick, and then we can gush on it.
Yeah. So I think the first two I wanted to sort of just brush over quickly because the fact that we talked a lot about them already. Like the first one would be like After the Rain. We've covered it for multiple episodes already, but it does highlight sort of like the dramas that happen when working with, you know, colleagues or coworkers, and there are also sort of like romantic undertones that lie within. We've talked about it many times. If you want to go back to listen to those specific episodes, we could recommend you go back to those. Another one would be Kakushi Goto, again in another series we talked about, but you know, we didn't talk too much about like the workplace theme of it, but I think at the same time, like, again, it's not a central theme to the story, so that's why we didn't really talk too much about that particular theme, but it exists there. I think the one that we do want to really honorably mention, quote-unquote there, is a series that is historic, very much well-loved, but due to, you know, a series of licensing issues and not getting people to actually pick it up and circulate it on streaming services, and even trying to find, like, you know, DVDs or even Blu-rays for it now is like nigh impossible. I guess that's a good reason why, you know, I guess, suppose, like, why you wanted to sort of mention these in the first place, because we really can't go that much in depth with it. But this is a series that both Jason and I have watched in the past on DVD and really, really loved it and are super upset that you can't just stream it. It's Planets. That's Planetes.
Yeah.
Amazing series. And it's funny that you think about, like, oh, but this is like a series. If you know about the series, they're just astronauts, or they're just people who work in space, right? They collect space garbage, and that's about it. Like, why would this be like anything about workplace and office spaces? This is more just, you know, space exploration. It's more like a traumatic kind of series.
Oh, but yeah, it's like sci-fi kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But at the same time, it's like, yes, there are a lot of other themes that kind of lie within this particular series, but the one thing we can never, ever look past is the relationships that all the characters have, especially as they all work under the same company, and they all have different motivations, different mentalities, different philosophies as well. So it's really cool to see these kinds of characters mingle and get to know each other, but also undergo like real dire straits and traumatic experiences together. If for any reason you're able to get your hands on a box set of DVDs or Blu-rays, or happen to know someone who has them, absolutely check it out.
Yeah, the full season, I guess, is like 2 curves, if I recall, because it's been a while since I watched it again. It really does integrate sci-fi, as in space, in this case, garbage disposal, with really office life. Of course, towards the end, it kind of expands the storyline into a bit more grander kind of character drama and whatnot. But it really does focus a lot on the actual job of garbage retrieval and disposal in space. And it's a very interesting, almost somewhat realistic take if such a phenomenon would exist in the future, which I think it will, actually.
Yeah, now you might be wondering, why would I care about people collecting garbage in space? Well, it's like, if you really, really think about it, you understand like the seriousness as to why you want to keep space clean and clear of debris. We won't go that much into it, because it's not so much like for spoilers or anything. It's more just, I think that people who don't know much about this series or are interested to check it out in the first place but couldn't because it was really hard to access, we wanted to keep it tight-lipped so that that way you could just fully experience the amazingness that lies within Planets. Not to mention as well, this is early 2000s Sunrise.
Yeah.
So it's going to, you know, look, it's going to look a little bit dated, but I thought that was also when like Sunrise was at its best.
Yeah. And I also think that it is a bit more on the slower side to kind of get momentum, but it's also very indicative of the times, and it really does build up really well, and it's a complete beginning to end. And I guess there could be a sequel, but there is no necessary need for that. Will, what would you give it out of 10? I gave it a 9.
I gave it a 10.
Mm.
I thought it was like, it was just perfect. There was nothing really wrong with it at all. I thought that the voice acting was great. You might be like, okay, well, the dated visuals can like knock a point or two off it, but you have to also look at the context. You can't just like see something as old and be like, okay, well, that immediately loses points, because then otherwise we'd be giving fewer points to shows like Samurai Champloo or Cowboy Bebop, because they came out in like the late 90s, like early 2000s.
I would say it definitely holds up. Like, if you think of those kinds of shows like Akira, it really does encapsulate that kind of level of detail. But I think that's all I'm going to say about it. You should try to check it out if you can, but because it's not really accessible due to licensing issues, we couldn't put it as our wholehearted recommendation, even though we really wanted to.
But get your hands on it any way possible. Okay, yeah. Now we're going to move on to...
Whenever we do a space episode, if we ever do a space episode, you hear it again.
Well, I mean, you hear it again, but in the same way as it being an honorable mention until it actually probably gets licensed.
Absolutely.
So, now we can move on?
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. Let's go into why we're even talking about office and workplaces in the first place.
Because it's kind of boring, right? Office is like, what is there to do? It sounds like my everyday work life, you know, this figurative person asking you, Will.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could say the same thing as, you know, why would you want to watch a series? It's about kids going to school. You know, it's the same thing where they're just going over like the Monday to Friday. You've got your English class in the morning, your physical education in the afternoon. You've got a mock test coming up, and then you have a parents teachers association conference coming up later on as well. You're just going through, you know, a sequence of events that are going to happen because that's what your life subscribes to during that period. The thing is, when it comes to the school-based life versus the work-based life, school is generally kind of confined within the 10 to 11 years it takes for you to get into, you know, a university. And then universities, depending on whether you're doing a bachelor or a master's combined or if you're doing a PhD, there is a set sort of time limit as to when you need to complete your studies, hand in your research, document your patents and whatnot. But when it comes to working, on the other hand, there really isn't much of a boundary or a sort of limit to when you can start and how long you work for. So there is a grander kind of sort of experience scale in terms of what, I mean, and also the fact that, like, schools are just schools generally. Whereas workplaces, there are a plethora of them. As Jason mentioned, whether you work in a fish market, whether you work in an office, whether you work at an amusement park and whatnot, those are all workplaces because they are tied to occupations and professions that you do once you enter the workforce.
Yeah, and along those same lines, when you, let's say, a lot of white-collar jobs, people always say you're pencil pushers, you file paperwork. But when you file paperwork, it could be like a peace treaty in political climate, or it could be a patent. You all right?
I'm good.
Or it could be a patent that you need for scientific discovery and innovation, or it could just be filling out a form for child welfare services, right? So the realism and relatability is both its blessing and its curse within these types of anime and mangas, because it's relatable.
I think more specifically the relatability is the fact that the truth in life is that we all get older. You know, we might have started watching anime when we were kids, especially like when we were in elementary, high school, through the university and whatnot. But the fans of anime that have watched, you know, stuff from yesteryear have now grown up and more than likely are in the workforce themselves.
So like us.
It's not like we want to just continuously keep watching high school-based anime and, you know, reminisce about things being more, quote-unquote, simple. We also would not mind seeing that, like, okay, I work in an office space. It would be kind of interesting to see. I mean, there's a reason why there are series like The Office and Parks and Recreations that are incredibly popular, because it mimics kind of similarities that people go through when they work, but also kind of like add a comedic spiel on it as well.
Mm-hmm, like a whimsical kind of thing. And I think also another thing is it's kind of like office workspaces allow, in my opinion, kind of a melting pot of situations and cultures and people that you don't necessarily subscribe to off the get-go. Because, yeah, you can say that about school as well.
I mean, I was going to say that. That's exactly how, like, you know, especially when you see, like, ensemble casts or, like, any kind of school setting, you're going to have, like, the athletic student, the quirky student, the one who studies too hard, the one that is the underachiever, the one that's shy, the romantic couple and whatnot. You kind of see those archetypes in the office as well.
Yeah, but you also see things where it becomes a bit more complex, because as my personal experience, when I first joined the workforce pretty late, I was kind of very hungry and wanted to hustle to kind of prove myself. And there was kind of, I guess you can say, an old senpai, an old geezer, who just really wanted to clock in and clock out, then go home. He does his job very competently and does very well, actually. And I kind of was like, oh, you could do more. And he was just like, nah, I'm all right. I'm just going to clock in, clock out, and just worry about that. And it wasn't until later on in life that I realized, like, that's just another way of doing things, a different stage of life, different priorities. And you get that in a huge plethora. You get people that are aggressive. You get people that are passive. People that really want to strive to climb the corporate ladder or not. So
yeah, I don't necessarily subscribe to saying that you get like a multitude of sort of personalities in an office space as opposed to what you see in a school-based anime. Because it's literally the same thing. You are going to find students that literally work themselves to the bone to be able to get into like the number one academic university, or being like the best overall with like a wonderful CV of extracurriculars to show that they are like the best for like a student council. And there are ones who just lay low and lay flat and don't necessarily, you know, want to succeed, but just want to get by. I think what the difference between these two is that the stakes are a lot higher in office space, or like a workplace, because of the fact that like you get to deal with more grown-up and adult situations. For example, like dealing with health, dealing with financial situations, dealing with like your family situation. You don't necessarily see a lot of that in a school-based anime, because you don't really have like, I mean, of course you'll have delinquents that do stupid shit, but you're not going to have a student that's like, I've taken out the mortgage, I'm divorced, I have like, you know, child support I need to pay, I can't make ends meet, I've got like rent and bills due at the end of the month, how am I going to live? Whereas like with students, it's more like, I've got 5 exams coming up, I haven't studied for any of them, I don't know if I'm going to pass them, what am I going to do if I can't get into university, my parents are going to think I'm a failure and whatnot. Like, there are similarities in that sense, but I think that in terms of like the impact to like the character's personality and psyche, there is a lot more gravity that's attached to a workplace setting as opposed to a student-based setting. So I don't think it's so much a grander melting pot of personalities. I think it's that you have the same personalities, but the stakes are higher.
Right.
Like considerably higher.
Yeah, I actually, when you phrase it like that, I actually kind of agree with that. I also think that, like, going back to the stakes, it's like, yo, you fail an exam, it's going to sound like when you are in it, you're a high school student, yeah, like the end of the world, because it is your immediate...
Oh, man, I remember when I was... because I was... Okay, just a minute here. I am Asian, and I was in an accelerated math course in my high school, and a lot of us were striving to get, like, really, really fucking good grades. We were allowed to take our I went to an English a school system in which we were doing GCSEs. It's I don't think there's really much of like a really
like an equivalent
to like American schools or any other university or any other schools. But anyways, these are just high school exams. And we have like A's, B's, all the way through down. We also have A stars or A pluses. So the threshold to get an A star for that particular exam was a 95 out of 100%.
Oh, shit.
I got a 94%.
Oh, fuck.
But I got an A, and I was like, awesome. I'm done. I got my first GCSE when I was 14 years old, like 2 years earlier than when you're supposed to. It was great. The people around me, on the other hand, who also were like 1 or 2% off, they immediately went to the teacher and were like, I want to retake the test. Schedule me for another one in 6 months. And I'm like, why, you got an A? It's like, it's not an A plus. Like, I can't do this. I have to get an A plus. And I was like, why are you hustling so hard? An A is an A, which is amazing. Like, the difference between an A and an A star in my mind was like minuscule. It's a 1% difference. And it was just like something for me. Like, I didn't necessarily feel like I needed to push and strive myself that much harder to be able to, you know, overachieve. I was like perfectly content with what I got. I thought for me, like a 94 out of 100%, despite it being not an A star, but an A, was enough for me. But there were people that were like, this is do or die for me. I have to get it. Not so much that because it was do or die, but because maybe they wanted to be an academic perfectionist. They maybe wanted to get that A star so that when they were going into that particular academic field, when they were, you know, going to university, they wanted to have those grades on the report card to make them more appealing to university recruiters.
Right. So going off of like an analogy to failing your exam or, you know, achieving high grades but not like the best grades, in the workplace, obviously, it is way more broad and more subjective. And as we mentioned, the stakes are higher. So here's an extreme example. Hospital is a workplace that I'm very familiar with because I work in the industry. People live and die. The stakes are as hardcore as you can get, or they get injured and whatnot.
I mean, look at Monster.
Yeah.
That's a workplace anime.
Technically, yeah. Well, it's a workplace journey, but that workplace incident in the very beginning
Monster. It's actually funny because you literally, like, the fact that like you open up with a doctor and like you literally only spend like the first volume in a hospital and the rest of it is him just chasing the monster throughout Europe.
Yeah, like... And let me be honest. When I first read the first volume, I was like, oh my god, this is like gonna be like this urban drama. And
this
then,
is ER, isn't it?
Yeah,
oh my god.
Yeah, it's just ER, but real and serious. Obviously, it's not real. But
it's Scrubs, but no one's laughing, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. At the end of the world, at the end of it all, it matters so much more than failing an exam because you can have a do-over. Or let's say you fail out. There are still ways that you can progress through life, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, if we take a pivot to, like, live action, mm-hmm. like, you know, especially, like, in the Western side, I mean, there's a lot of, like, police dramas, there's a lot of firefighter dramas, there's a lot of, like, legal-based dramas as well, because you're dealing with things that are greater than you, right? You're dealing with natural forces, you're dealing with crime, you're dealing with disasters, you're dealing with, you know, serious shit that could potentially affect not just yourself, but people around you, or even large corporations. And so, therefore, as, you know, we talk back about, like, you know, the stakes being so high, that creates a kind of, like, friction slash drama point that people really, really like. Because, let's be real, the everyday life of someone who works as a, you know, a clerical worker or working as a hospital staff is not as intense as seen in these kinds of dramas or these kinds of animes. But when they do happen, like, they're not necessarily things you want to experience firsthand.
Exactly.
So it's probably safer and more enjoyable for you to watch it in a more fictional setting.
Yeah, or like an observer kind of deal, right? And the other thing is, when you fail at a certain assignment at work, you affect others, maybe your team, and a lot of maybe your department. But at the same time, if you're a student and you fail an exam, in theory, it only affects maybe you or your group project members.
I mean, we've had experiences of slackers and group projects. So,
and, yep,
you know,
and you get that in workplaces too.
But in the end, it's like a group project's a group project. And eventually you do have, like, you know, an academic counselor or a professor that you can go to sort of remedy the situation. Whereas if you're in the workplace, it's kind of like you're all grown up now. Deal with it yourselves. Figure it out. Or we're going to have a problem at the end of the day. So it's a lot of times, like, when it comes to in a workplace, you kind of only have your own brain and hands to deal with situations. It's a little bit more sort of like, you know, hand holding when you're in school. Not to say that you can't do things on your own. It's more just you are kind of nurtured in an environment where people want you to succeed. You know,
yeah.
It depends on how you sort of look into the education system. I know there are people that are
cynical,
a little bit,
yeah.
But, you know, we don't want to go into that because that's its own rabbit hole. And it's a lot more, as Jason mentioned, it's a lot more of a cynical approach to, you know, how you should look into education.
So anime and manga actually tackles workplaces in a certain way quite differently than how I thought other live actions would do. For example, slice of life is always a huge part of these office workplaces. I mean, it's always like your Parks and Recs and your, you know, the Office series. There's like equivalents, right? We will mention some of those. There's also, obviously, again, there's always going to be office romance, comedic, like, kind of shades within these workplaces. But I think two in particular that are quite interesting to me is Iyashike, as well as, you know, Girl Love and Boy Love.
I knew you would put that in there.
Yeah. I think for some reason, the Girl Love and Boy Love subgenre really likes to focus a lot on adults, and a lot of them are works in the office. I don't really know exactly why, but it is what it is. So it's way more of it in a setting, and a lot of it's coming out in anime nowadays too.
Just admit it, Jason. You want to talk about Girl Love, Boy Love, and Yashike in any form, whether it was in a drama, a workplace, a school, a comedy.
You damn fucking right, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to squeeze it in somehow. Sure, make it work. I don't care at this point.
Like, aw, don't be so.
No, it's just like, I mean, what is it specifically about Girl Love, Boy Love, in workplaces that is like, you know? It doesn't only exist in anime and manga, nor is it like a thing that is like, you know, why is it happening more in any other genres or subgenres in general? I think it's just, I don't know.
I'm biased because I read a lot of manga and I watch a lot of anime. So
yeah,
obviously,
let's not get our biases in terms of defining or looking into the appeal of what this subgenre is. But I admit, I think the Iyashike aspect is very real. I think because of the fact that, you know, as you tapped on in the first place, talking about like mundane, boring settings and whatnot, well, why don't we actually dial it up more in terms of it being boring and mundane and just show how slow life is working in an office, but make it enjoyable. So that part I totally get. I mean, like, there's a lot of like really slow work-based anime that's, let's be real. I think a lot of people kind of have a love-hate when it comes to Iyashike, because it literally just means like a whole lot of nothing, but a whole lot of healing, right? You heal by just doing nothing, watching nothing, experiencing nothing. And for some, that could be like, this is perfect. At the end of the day, I want absolutely to do nothing and just turn on the TV and watch stuff, whether it is just white noise in the background or just something to look at whilst I, you know, decompress at the end of the day. Whereas like there are ones who'd be like, I just want excitement. I want like full octane. I want like high energy. I want everything to just be working like bam, 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 bam. Like Iyashike is not going to mean it for me. But I think a workplace setting is perfect for Iyashike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because of the after effects of like, you know, the typical thing like, was it Senka Helpful Fox? That's like, oh, after a long day, I come home and then there's someone, or like my cat is depressed again.
The Helpful Fox Senko-san.
Yep. And the Masterful Cat is
always depressed.
Always depressed. It's just like, oh, I come home exhausted from work, which is.
Oh, no, sorry. It's the Masterful Cat is depressed again.
Thank you. Yeah. And then. By coming home exhausted from work, which is a sentiment that probably everyone knows and feels on a regular basis, but then to feel rejuvenated by being taken care of is a fantasy as well as a reality of sorts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I think we've kind of covered like the main appeals or like, you know, the sort of, you know, upsides of, you know, why this genre is well loved and appreciated, but at the same time. It is a very small subgenre, right? There's not a whole lot of them. As much as we try to watch those, it's still very much a under-the-radar subgenre. So why is it still in such a small niche, I guess, in the sense, you know, why is it that it's not as appealing as it should be?
Yeah, I think the thing is that it's obvious that the most dominant setting is school. High school, mainly, in anime and manga.
Yeah, because you know, viewers, especially like you and me, right, as we get older, of course we're going to be gravitating to stuff that is of more adult oriented, mature oriented, grown oriented. Yeah. You know, so it's like, well, a seinen workplace, that sounds depressing as fuck. But that's probably why people might not be as into a subgenre like this, right? Because when we talk about like anime, especially any works of fiction, it's meant to be escapism. It's meant to be fantasy. It's meant to sort of take you away from, you know, the doldrums of real life.
That's why isekais are so popular.
And that's also probably why like people might not subscribe to looking at like a workplace-based anime, because there's not enough of that break from realism. Yeah. Right? There's no escapism and it's too relatable for a lot of people. And that's probably why, like, as much as there is an appeal to certain shows, there might be a general like majority where like I don't want to be reminded of how boring my job is. I don't want to be reminded of how my life is just a 9-to-5 working at a desk and whatnot. So watching an anime that is exactly the same thing is not going to fly for me.
And then
which is kind of weird, because it's like when you look at like, I mean, we've mentioned Parks and Rec and The Office already, but like those are like some of the most like well-loved series. But you also have to think about how many of the viewers actually watched them when they were working. And how, I mean, I watched The Office when I was in university.
Right.
I watched Parks and Rec when I was just getting into the industry and all that. So it's like, there is, of course, like a contextual reason as to why people watch stuff in the first place.
Yeah. Again, it is the Iyashike kind of argument of when you look at, oh, it's so relatable, so it's supposed to be a good thing, which is what we said earlier. But on the other hand, people will see that as, I don't want to be reminded of.
Exactly.
Because it's just like, oh, removing myself to go to another.
I just got off a 9-to-5. Why do I want to watch a series that is essentially about people going to a 9-to-5.
That's why some people like Euro Truck Simulator to play when they get off work, but then a lot of people is like, why would you play that, or Football Manager when You know what I mean? So
Bubble Manager is super dope.
I mean, both of those are dope.
And also, Euro Truck Simulator is also super dope, too. But it's just a niche appeal. It's a very niche appeal, and that's why it's niche, yeah. Right? I think in the end, it's like people just want to break from reality, and the fact that like these kinds of series, this particular genre, really dives deep into that lack of escapism, that's probably why it's a turnoff for a lot of people. Not to say that, like, you know, they're wrong. Like, you're well within their right to not want to watch something that reminds them of the doldrums of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think along the same lines, which we have mentioned before, why all of the myriads of characters you said that might have been a positive trait in workplaces, isn't that the same that you can see in schools, which is what Will argued and I agree with?
Yeah.
That is also the same thing that a lot of people criticize office and workplaces because, okay, it's a different coat of paint.
Same shit, different setting, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Same shit, different setting. So, like, why is that a big deal then? Why don't I just watch the good shows? And if the office space, like, office setting is so niche, there might be one or two good shows, which they are quite a few, but not compared to school.
Yeah. I think the last point that you brought up as well, in the docket as well, is the sort of the lack of combinations with other genres when it comes to workplace and office-based anime. So like if we talk about school again, I know we have to go back to it because it is like the main subgenre when it comes to like a setting-based anime.
And it's kind of like it's polar opposite in many ways.
Whereas
right? Like,
if you have school-based, you can have romance, you can have drama, comedy, action, adventure, you can have fantasy, you can have mystery, suspense, horror, you can have any of those. Right? There's a lot of horror school-based anime, which most of them are terrible, but they make another, right? Mm-hmm. High School with the Dead, not really horror based, but let's just roll with it, right?
High School DxD technically has a lot of supernatural stuff.
It's supernatural, like fantasy, definitely on the fantasy side, right?
Yeah,
but you don't really see a lot of those in workplaces, and you know, like we don't want to stretch too far the definition of workplaces because then you can just make any anime be like, oh, but that is a workplace anime and it's supernatural. But it's like we're trying to like more focus this on, I guess, quote unquote traditional workplace settings. So like you're not really gonna see like, you know, an office worker going on an action adventure. You're not going to be seeing them. Well, I guess.
Yeah, it's a bit ironic given our recommendations.
Actually, there is one which is like more like supernatural mystery. With like, if we talk about like Mob Psycho 100.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, he is a kid who's working on part-time. But, you know, Reagan is also running a detective agency of the supernatural. That is a work setting.
Yeah. You know? And he does go and do occult supernatural work. But
in the end, it's not as flexible a genre, like a subgenre, and for you to integrate other genres. There are exceptions, of course. Like, you know, there are workplace sports anime, like Ryman's Club.
Yep. There is obviously, with Sasaki and Peeps, it is an isekai that is very rooted in the ways of office politics and whatnot, right? So it's possible, but it's a bit of either an exception or a bit of a stretch. You typically get your very grounded in realism, romance, shoujo, slice of life, comedy stuff. That's it. So, I guess those are the downsides if you were to argue it.
Well, I mean, like, it seems that the next part in our docket is, like, the downer side of it. I don't really know how we're going to go about talking about this because of the fact that it is a lot more depressing and actually kind of more of a turnoff for why people would want to watch an office or workplace kind of anime.
We could skip it.
Yeah. But I think, like, the general sentiment, especially if we talk about, like, in an Asian context, you know, we keep saying 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 9 to 5, but that is very much a Western adopted approach to work. Whenever I tell people, anybody that I have friends with in the US or Canada, or even just like, you know, not from Asia in general, and I tell them, like, sometimes I get off work at like 6:30, 7 o'clock, they'll be like, what time do you have dinner then? Like, why are you eating so late? Like, you should be getting off work at 4:30, 5 o'clock. It's like, you gotta work at 4:30. What the fuck? Like,
yeah, and I'm also like, I went to school in Australia, where in the hospitals at 4:30 they close the at five, you know, they leave at 5, and by 4:30 everything is all packed up, ready to go, and they're just chatting away. Maybe it's not all hospital settings, but it's been multiple times where it's just that way of life. It's more laid back, whereas in Asia, it's
yeah, you
more...
guys have, like, restaurants that, like, you know, we got great dinner service, but it closes at 8. Oh, we got a great drinking scene, but it closes at 11 or 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, but then there's after spots. Yeah. But public transport shuts down at 1.
Yep.
That kind of thing, right?
Yep. That's very much Australia, at least the places that I've... been to in a nutshell.
Sounds fun. Yeah, but that's why it's like, you know, you have people that are more into sort of like looking at live action based like anime and then live action based like series like The Office and Parks and Rec, because it's a little bit more of like a lackadaisical. I'm not saying that like Western workplaces are lackadaisical compared to Asia, but you have to understand the Asian context of what working is like.
Yeah.
Especially when you have people that push the whole, like, you know, it's a 24/7 job, or it's like the coined like Chinese term of 996 and stuff like that. Or like the bad stuff that comes out of Japan, like, you know, black companies and Karoshi and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of times whenever we talk about, or at least when we see like major media corporations talking about workplace settings in Asia, it tends to be on the negative side.
Yeah.
We're not here to dispel that, because we very much accept that it is a certain reality that exists, but that you have to understand that that's probably why, at least here in Asia, watching these kinds of series has an appeal. Because mm-hmm. when we do find time in our days to be able to turn on the TV and put on an anime or a series we want to watch, it just makes sense for us.
Yeah. And to reiterate that point, anime and manga is primarily from Japan, which is in Asia, and a lot of, like, for example, a lot of the isekais happens when people get overworked to death, which is karoshi, and then they reincarnate. Yes. Like, that is a very, you know, kind of typical premise in these kinds of isekais.
Like, if you think about, like, K-dramas as well. I don't know if you... I mean, I'm sure you haven't watched a whole lot of them. I watched a few. I know a lot of friends who watch them as well. But, like, generally, it seems like a lot of them are very much, like, work-based place, whether it's, like, a law firm, a hospital, any sort of office. And then they'll throw, like, romantic drama subtexts in there as well. I mean, Western, you got a lot of ENR dramas, you got a lot of, you know, firefighter dramas as well. In the end, it's like, sometimes, like, I don't work as a firefighter, but it'd be pretty cool to see, you know, how a firefighter deals with the day-to-day, even if it's a fictional kind of thing, right? Like, yeah. I don't think I'll ever work in an emergency department at a hospital, but it'd be pretty cool to see what happens when someone comes in and the whole hospital has to, you know, get into focus mode and save this person's life.
It's a glimpse in a life, or kind of the workings of an institution that you probably would never have the experience of seeing anything otherwise, whether it's dramatized or not, right? So the reason why I mentioned, like, these kinds of negative context of, like, Asian workplaces is because a lot of the premises of, for example, the isekais, the iyashikes, are all emphasizing of being overworked, underpaid, and it's a very real reality, but it's something that is not for this podcast. We are not a social science, you know, kind of political podcast. We're here to talk about 2D weeb shit, but it is a very premise that is used in a lot of anime and manga. I mean, what was that live action when they talked about where it was like this salary man that just goes by places to eat?
Oh, I need to...
You can check while I spitball a bit more, but like Tokyo Diner.
I think it's like Solitary Gourmet Solitary Gourmet, Kokudo no Gourmet.
And it's
super popular in Asia.
Yeah.
Incredibly popular.
And then the other one's
the fact that the series is still running, and then last year, the showrunners decided, you know what, for a next season special, not just an episode special, but a season special, we're not doing it in Japan. We're going to do this series in Taiwan, and everyone lost their minds. They were like, wow, they're going global with this shit now. Because whilst it's popular in Japan, it's insanely popular amongst Chinese and Taiwanese fans.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've watched it. It was pretty good. And, I mean, Tokyo Midnight Diner is a very popular one that it's like a very Iyashike-based kind of character drama and slice of life stuff. Sure, it's not anime and manga, but you will get a lot of those up. So that is really why I wanted to have this kind of section talking about this, because maybe not everyone know about Kuroshi or Black Company or 996, which is 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week.
Yep.
All right. So going back to anime and manga, which is obviously what we're doing now, there's actually two studios that I would argue, with one in particular being PA Works, has just almost a stranglehold on this subgenre, this niche of office workplaces. Would you agree?
I mean, Hanasaku Iroha, they've also done...
that's Sakura Quest, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And then Shirobako, yes. Which is about... and then Aquatope on the White Sand. These are the three kind of what we call OL, office lady kind of... I just call it the OL trilogy. I just coined it myself. But it's very much like with Shirobako, everyone knows of a bunch of ladies working in the animation industry, and it is done almost so realistic, and you learn so much about the animation industry at large. Then Sakura Quest is about a group of ladies in tourist attraction in a remote rural prefecture and trying to kind of figure out how to increase tourism in that area. And Aquatope on the White Sand, probably their newest one, is about aquariums and managing the aquarium. So PA Works really has it on lock, really.
Yeah, I think that as well, like, the series we talk about, like, they're as real a depiction of workplace settings as can get. The other one you mentioned here on the docket is Dogakobo, which I think is a good shout, considering that they did, like, My Senpai is Annoying. Is it My Senpai is Annoying? Or...
Yeah, my... yeah. And New Game, which is about video game development, and it's like a Yuri kind of thing.
Yeah. But I wouldn't put it as like, I mean, it's not the one that comes to mind in general. Like, Dogakobo have been doing good work. Workplace, definitely they've got some series that like are mainstays within the subgenre, but surprised you don't have A1 Pictures in here. Well, I think A1 is huge in general, but it's like, look, Restaurant to Another World, they've done Working, Servant X Service, you know, they also done like some other pretty big like workplace-based anime, Watakoi as well, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. But I think, like, maybe the reason why we wouldn't put it on there is because A1 is just big.
Yes.
So they work on a lot of shit, so yeah. It's like... But it's also clear that, like, the work-based stuff that they do are incredibly good. Another one that I suppose is, like, more on the... Well, I suppose they do a lot of workplace stuff, but you can see why they do it. Project Number 9.
Oh, why is that, Will?
I mean, my Tiny Senpai is okay, you know?
Yeah.
Just under a 7.
Just okay.
Yeah.
Like mildly acceptable, right? But the thing about trying to find studios that are well-known for this is that it's not really something that people think these studios are well-known for. Like, you don't go to PA Works and go, oh, they're well-known for this. Although I would argue of all of the studios,
they're probably the ones that have like the most hand in the game. Like, yeah, they always go like all in when it comes to like a workplace based anime. But it's like there's always going to be debates in terms of like which studio does the best action adventures, like shonens, which one does the best sports animes, which one does the best like supernatural mysteries.
Yeah, or those are really good debates.
Yeah.
And those are like both like either side of whatever argument has a lot of evidence to say. And then when you have, let's go to the office debate.
It's like, you got Production IG, MAPPA, Sunrise, Madhouse, Bones, and so on. A1 Pictures can throw their hat in the game, too. But then, like, so what about Workplace? Like, probably PA Works?
It's like when that debate happens, there's only, like, one person in the
crickets.
Audience.
It's crickets, exactly. Basically.
So that's why, I feel a need to shout out for PA Works, because they're kind of office lady... series are actually done really well, in my opinion.
Yep. I think this is a good point to take a quick break. We've gone over the sort of, you know, breakdown of the genre, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and also why we feel that, you know, at least in our opinion, it is a genre that definitely deserves a little bit more of attention. After the break, we're going to be going into specific recommendations of this subgenre. Hold on to your butts. We're going to go back to work soon. We are back with the second half of today's episode. It's still Jason, still Will, still episode 79. We are now going to be going into the recommendations for this particular subgenre of office and workplace-based anime and manga. So, we already went over a couple of things that we didn't really want to go in depth in, but this time around, we're going full throttle. We're going to be talking about series that are readily available and easily accessible. Is there any particular one you want to start off with, or should we just go in the order of what's on the docket? How do you want to go about this?
I don't really mind. We can just do whatever you kind of feel like.
I think because the fact that what's on the top is pretty much like the pinnacle of like a workplace based anime. We can go with that first.
Sure, let's do.
Only because it'll be good for you to sort of more go into it, since I haven't watched it, but I know like the massive appeal in history it has. So we're talking about Watakoi. Love is Hard for Otaku. It's based on a completed manga of the same name by Fujita, who did the story and the art, published in English by Kodansha. The anime premiered back in spring of 2018, produced by A1 Pictures. So it holds a pretty good score of a 7.93, really close to an 8. 707 is its ranking, but the popularity is where it stands to be like incredibly good at 158. So it's a very popular series. I never got around to watching it just because it wasn't necessarily something that was on the top of my list. And more recently, in preparation for this episode, I actually had a bunch of other stuff I was doing for different recording. So that's why I never got around to watching it. But Jason has. And the fact that it's ranked 158 means a fuck ton of people have also watched it too. So what's the deal with Watakoi?
All right. So... What was that?
No.
Okay. First of all, I love Watakoi a lot. Read the manga.
Done. Okay. Move on to the next one.
Yeah. But the thing is about Watakoi is, it's your workplace romance.
Yeah. Just to sort of be clear about the name Watakoi, it's one of those portmanteaus that mm-hmm. Japan likes to do because the original name for it is super long. The actual name for it is... Wataku Nikoi wa Matsukashi. That's why they just short formed it into Watakoi.
Welcome to light novels types of shorthand and isekai types of shorthand.
It's funny you say that because it's actually a web manga.
Yep.
Yeah.
Watakoi does something that I think is extremely unique in this subgenre, which is we are all nerds, but when we grow up, we are all still nerds, but we work in the office. And the kind of conceit of trying to get together and hang out and have romance and have comedy is something that is extremely, like, almost done to perfection with Watakoi. And I really cannot really say much about it because it's not about, there's spoilers or plot beats, right? With all these shows, a lot of these slice of life shows, it's about the experience of going through it. And me, it's kind of like saying, hey, Will, this school festival arc in this high school anime is dope. And then you just be like, okay. Like okay. Or like the plot beats of them going to a Comiket kind of anime convention in Watakoi is really good. And you just be like, okay. But when you see it and have it unfold, it really does give a different vibe when the plot summary is just very plain and basic. It's just the thing of slice of life. That's really thing that I think is gets to it, gets pretty, romantic, heartwarming. And also shout out to the intro dance sequence kind of choreography. It is Skip and Loafer style, but I would say even better.
Ooh, that's a big shot. I mean, I can't say anything because I haven't watched it. But yeah, no, I think that, like, we're not trying to group in, you know, people who like anime and manga in general as being nerds. But, you know, that if that's a name that you are comfortable calling yourself or being tagged with, then all the merrier. When I was looking at r/anime's post, there was actually somebody that posted a while ago this particular female individual actually, the post was, "I got a girlfriend because I love Serial Experiments Lane." No joke. And she detailed that
great
she was
taste.
She was detailing that, you know, she met a fellow colleague at a work convention, and they were having, you know, after convention drinks, and they were chatting and stuff, and, you know, she was like, "Oh, I was pretty into this girl, you know, I was a bit shy and I didn't really know what to talk about." Then she started, you know, the female counterpart started talking about, you know, how she liked anime and all that. It's like, "Oh, I kind of like anime. There's a series that I watched when I was younger called Serial Experiments," and immediately the girl she was talking to, just her face lit up. It's like, "You love that show? I love that show." Lo and behold, a few weeks later, they're together now. So they fell in love with each other because of, not specifically anime, but because of their love for Serial Experiments Lane. And that, I guess it's those kinds of romantic plot beats, especially when it's so tied to the genre of media that we both love, that it's like, that was wholesome. That is some real wholesome shit. Even if
Serial Experiment Lane is like the darkest motherfucking road to like insanity. Yeah.
It's like, "Aw, it's cute. Fucked up, but cute. Aw."
Like, good on you, man. Like, yeah. Good on you, guys. But the other thing about Watakoi that I like a lot that I'm kind of brushing over is they integrate, for example, essentially, you know, the Wii remote with the steering wheel to play Mario Kart?
Oh, yeah. I hated that thing.
Monster Hunter is extremely referenced in the show. I think even it might have been like those kind of sponsorship kind of, what's it called? Like a product integration kind of deals.
I think it's product cool. Placement. It's cool to see those two like genres of media coming together, right? Like, you know, anime and manga along with games, like, because it's not like just because you like anime means you like games and vice versa, but there are people that kind of overlap within those two particular mediums, so it's cool to see that kind of hybrid come together.
Yeah.
And it seems as well, like, you know, the show is so popular to the fact that, like, you know, not only having, you know, I think it was just the one season, but they also had an original video animation that came out for it afterwards. Three seasons of it. Three episodes of it.
Yeah. Focused. So there's like the main four people that are just like the best friends, and they're both paired up. And the Momose is essentially, they judge it by color. There's the pink, the red, the blue, and the green. And they really lean into that in the anime and in the manga. But essentially, half of the four are in a fresh new relationship that is rekindled. And then the other half of the four is in a very serious long-term relationship that is kind of not really mentioned at work, but they are actually together. So it is a very good dichotomy between the two, and they all get along, and there's all this kind of shenanigans, as you said, and it's just really good.
Yep. All 11 volumes of the manga are released in English. All 11 episodes are currently streaming on Amazon Prime. You can probably find it other places as well. Also, if you, for some reason, are listening to this and you don't like anime and manga, they also have a live-action film for it, too.
So really successful IP.
Moving now, on to the next one, which is an interesting inclusion in this, because
we felt the need.
While it's technically not an anime per se, well, hey, look, I mean, we've done this. You know, that's stupid, BP, of you asking me what is anime. Well, then let's really talk about Pokemon Concierge and whether it counts as an anime.
Yeah.
So it came out quite recently, back in December 23rd, 2023. It only came out about 4 months ago. It's a 4-episode ONA specifically on Netflix, produced by Dwarf. It's the same studio that did Rila Kuma and Friends, which I quite liked, actually. And of course, it's based on the multimedia franchise of Pokemon that's done by Game Freak, Pokemon Company, Nintendo, all that's real. So, originally, like, I think Jason wanted to mention this as, like, something he watched in the past, and we might have been, like, a good mention to have, but at the time, we weren't really sure if it was really an anime, but my anime list lists it on the database, giving it a score of 7.7, ranking it at 1199, popularity is 65-24, so it's an anime. I think because of the fact that anime itself, if we actually look at the word, it means animation. So, I mean, we've talked about it. Shrek is an anime. It is.
No,
you ask like a Japanese person, it is an anime. That's what the word means.
Yeah. No. I'm not trying to just say you're
Last
wrong.
Last Airbender is anime.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No. I mean.
So, Pokemon Concierge. This is a good time to talk about it. So we're not going to talk more about, you know, whether it is an anime or not. It's here to stay. So it just kind of came out of nowhere. There was a Netflix announcement of a Pokemon series coming out, a very short series. And it was just Psyduck walking along a beach and then show card, Pokemon Concierge. Ah, this looks to be a very, very quirky, chill slice of life set on a sort of island resort. Okay, let's check it out. It is as slice of life Pokemon as can be. It is like there's really nothing else to describe it other than it being you go to an island resort and you work with Pokemon and the island resort guests. That's it. But it's insanely comfy. And the fact that, you know, if you are even like interested in the, I mean, I don't know if anybody's not interested in Pokemon. I still love Pokemon. So it was something that when I was watching it, it's like, this is a very, very relatable kind of series that I can watch because I still love Pokemon. I'm growing in my affection for slice of life. So I guess the stars aligned and it just made sense for me to watch it. And I very much enjoyed it. I watched it with my wife, actually.
Yeah. So,
oh yeah, I should mention as well. I'm married now. So, but I think I've mentioned many times in the episode that I have a girlfriend now. It's like, no, we're married now.
Congrats.
Yeah, we're moving past that now.
Pokemon Concierge, right? So, when we are talking about the ambiguity of whether it's an anime or not, I think the only thing that I want to reiterate is it is claymation.
Yeah. That's very much. It's the same studio that did Rilakkuma. If you've watched Rilakkuma, you're going to see the same way in which they go about animating the series. They actually have like a behind the scenes of how they actually put together the stuff. If you're old enough, like Jason and I, to have watched like Wallace and Gromit, like back in like the early 90s,
or maybe Fantastic Mr. Fox, guess,
or Chicken Run,
yeah, right? It is of that ilk.
Yeah.
And to be very honest, it is really awesome. The only real criticism that I have of the show is that it's only 4 episodes and they're only 14 minutes each.
Yeah, I think it was like it's perfect as is, and I can see that if they were to run it as like, you know, a full cur of 25 minute episodes, it could drag on a bit.
I think it will. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think this is going to be the only sort of, you know, Netflix exclusive or any like platform exclusive Pokemon series we're gonna get that's not like the actual Pokemon series.
Do you
itself.
Know what a Pokemon Concierge reminded me of?
Go for it.
An N64 game called Pokemon Snap.
In a way, I can see that
because it was
without the camera, of course. Yeah. And there's no Todd.
Yeah, but you know, it's like you're observing the Pokemon, and you are. It is a resort that is built not only for the inhabitants that come to visit there that are humans, but really also for the Pokemon themselves.
I also like that they picked Psyduck as the main Pokemon for this series. He or she is perfect for it.
Oh my god, I lost my fucking mind. I was just like, this is both dumb and quirky and comedic, and Psyduck... Well, Misty Psyduck has a bit of a competition, let's just put it that way. So, it's a really short series, but I really like it. I don't think it is outstanding. It will blow your mind, but it really will leave you yearning for more. And I feel like that already is enough praise to put on this short series.
If you've got an hour to kill after you get off work and had your dinner, this is a good way to kill the hour. right? It'll certainly leave an impression, especially if, one, you like anime, and two, you like Pokemon.
Do you think if you don't like Pokemon, how about you just don't know about Pokemon, do you think you would actually gain a lot from it? Because I would argue you wouldn't.
No. I think if you didn't like Pokemon in general, then this wouldn't be a show you care for anyway.
Yeah. Like, if you're traveling to get on a scooter and then Dragonite flies on top of you and feel like that's awesome.
If you think about the fact that, like, this isn't even, like, a main sort of contributor to the monolith that is the Pokemon company, right? Like, their main bread and butter is making Pokemon games. I mean, shit, like, Pokemon Day was just only a few days ago.
There's a Pokemon Day?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's a Pokemon every day on the specific day since the release of Fire and Green. Back in 1994. That was my
red, green, blue, right?
Red, green. Blue didn't exist in Japan.
Oh shit! You know more about this than me. But
that's because you're American. You only know red and blue because that's what we got in North America and outside of Japan. But it actually was red and green when it first started out. That's why the remakes for the GBA were Fire Red and Leaf Green. Blue was not included in that.
I also played Pikachu Yellow.
Yellow was good, but that one only came out because of the anime.
I know.
So there was a lot of limitations as to, you know, what the real appeal about Pokemon was. You can go into the fandom. I mean, like, I'm really into the Pokemon fandom, but really only up to, like, Generation 5. So, yeah, anything else that came out recently, like Sword and Shield and Scarlet Violet, don't really care for it. Though I do want to play Legends Arceus because Pokemon Day, they announced that they're doing Pokemon Legends Z to A, which is focused on the Kalos region. So that would be Pokemon Black and White, I believe, or X and Y, either one of them. Pokemon fans, rejoice. Not only do you have a really exciting Pokemon IP coming out in 2025, but if you are also jonesing for some Pokemon right now and you've already played Sword and Shield and Scarlet Violet and you hated the bugginess that came out of the games, despite it being super popular for the competitive scene, Pokemon Concierge will give you that hour of enjoyment.
Yep. Okay. The next one, I think, is quite an interesting pick. And I think, Will, you are very passionate about this recommendation.
Not necessarily. I only threw it out there because we were talking about PA Works. I actually never watched this series, but I know that if we're talking about PA Works and we don't talk about Shirobako, then you have to talk about Hanasaku Iroha Blossoms for Tomorrow. This is just going to be a running trend of PA Works working on an anime original that's based on a workplace/office setting, and that's probably why Jason mentioned it as, like, when you talk about studios that are known for this kind of subgenre, you can't look past PA Works because they are really good at it. So it's an anime original, came out in spring 2011. There was a sequel movie called Hanasaku Iroha Movie Home Sweet Home that premiered 2 years after the release of the anime in March 9th, 2013. The scores for this series is good, right? The movie itself, 7.84. The anime, the original anime, 7.9. Really good scores, really popular. I mean, both of them are in the top 1,000 on my anime list when it comes to popularity. So I don't think that this is something that we could have really ignored, despite the fact that I haven't watched it. But you're very well aware of Hanasaku Iroha.
Yeah, I watched the anime and the sequel movie. I would argue of all of... The reason why I didn't say it was a quadology and it was a trilogy is because... And I may not be the majority opinion in this case. I feel like this is like the last youngest child sibling of the four. And within the pantheon of PA Works is OL kind of subgenre. I think for one thing, Hanasaku Iroha is about kind of like a bathhouse kind of... what was that anime that you mentioned with the five guys? I keep forgetting.
Yatsuro Biori.
Yeah, that is kind of the setting for this high school girl kind of situation. Is it high school? I think so. But it's like a bathhouse or like an inn resort type of situation. It's
a bit weird to be talking about bathhouses and high school girls, but let's just move past that.
Yeah. I think you just work in some sort of inn.
Yeah. Let's just point it out. The focus is not on the girls. The focus is on the bathhouse. It's a workplace. Okay. That's essentially it.
Yeah. I like this series a lot, but...
I mean, you're not the only one. I mean, like, close to 8, you know, over, like, 300,000 people on my anime list subscribe to the series.
But I think it's the weakest of, like, the PA Works OL stuff.
In what sense?
In the sense that I would probably watch Aquatope on the White Sand, Shirobako, and Sakura Quest before I watch Hanasaku Yura. So
go on. Like, what? Okay.
Well, no, the reason why originally I didn't put in the recommendations was because I thought that...
Is it because it's the oldest one?
Maybe. I don't... I think also...
Putting that in again. Using the age.
No, I think the sequel, it's more... That's why I didn't want to necessarily put in recommendations, because I actually don't... I feel like it's very melodramatic.
But isn't, you know... Is that a bad thing? If we were to use stats as a comparison, right? Like, Aquatope scores lower than it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like Akiba Maid War, which technically is a workplace one as well.
Technically, yeah. But it's food and beverage. But yes, technically, yeah.
Yeah, it's lower than that. It is one of their, as a studio, it's one of their highest scoring series.
Yeah.
So,
that's why I said, like, my opinion is probably in the minority.
Yeah.
Because I understand why we should recommend it, but I just don't have a lot of, like, skin in the game to support this in relation to, for example, Shirobako.
Yeah. I think it's more just your own personal tastes.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You don't seem like someone who wants to get into the melodrama. You just like the drama that mellows out.
Fair, extremely fair and accurate point. I guess the easiest thing I would say is this Hanasaku Yura is very much trying to integrate the slice of life with kind of character development and drama. And for me personally, if you like that blend, this is the show for you within that PA Work catalog. For me, it's like I'd rather watch something that is more melodramatic.
See, the thing is, though,
than
it's
slice
like,
of life.
It actually doesn't have the where... Yeah, it's not tagged a slice of life. It's very much a workplace drama. So
yeah.
that's probably why you're less hot on it because of, you know, how much you simp for the SOL series.
Yeah, it's not a bad show. It's just not what I would look for.
Yeah, but again, this is not about you. This is about why we wanted to talk about the series in general, right? So let's put away our personal biases and let's talk more about why Harusaku Iroha is probably, I mean, like, look, it's definitely more popular. It's
yes.
It's higher ranked, and personal biases aside, it is still a good show.
Absolutely.
Right? It's not just down to the fact that it's an original by PA Works. It's just, we know that it's their bread and butter, but I think, at least from the synopsis itself, it sounds like something that is very much made to be a workplace drama. Right, young girl, 16 years old, you know, who works and lives in Tokyo, is now inheriting a rural inn that runs a bathhouse after her mother decides, you know what, I can't deal with shit anymore, I gotta get out of here. Me and my boyfriend are on the run because we're, you know, racking up a lot of debts. You're on your own now.
Yeah.
And that already just sounds like, okay, this is definitely not like your typical high school girl drama. This is something that is very much, you're in the deep end now. You're an adult, sink or swim. And I think if we wanted to talk about like workplace stuff in general, as much as we, I mean, particularly you as well, when you want to see like the Yashike and the slice of life, there is going to be a large group of people that want to subscribe to seeing the dramatic aspects of actually working in an environment that you're not familiar with, or that you're very much forced into, or you don't want to do it in general, but you have to because family, right? And I think when you compare like the other things like Aquatope or Shirobako and all that, yeah, it's very different from the other ones. And that's probably why, like, it's worth recommending, because you can see similarities between Shirobako and Aquatope. What was the other one?
Sakura Quest. So,
yeah, that was the one.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It is worth recommending. That's why we have in our recommendations, I just probably have certain trepidations, but I don't think that trepidation is a slight, because that is what it's branded as. It's not branded as slice of life, and it isn't. It's more of a drama focused. That's why.
Yeah. It just would be good to do recommendations and maybe not be like, out of the four, this is not the one I want to recommend.
Well, you put it in there. I didn't put it in there. So I didn't know.
I didn't put it in there. I just said, I'm surprised it's not on the list, and that's why it's on there.
Okay.
I didn't say put it on there.
All right, fair enough.
Because, I mean, you were the one who put it on there, Jason. So that's why. Like, I thought it'd be good to at least talk about something that, like, if we talk about PA Works and we already know about Aquatope, we already know about Shirobako, why don't we talk about something that is lesser? I mean, despite it saying lesser known, it still had like 330,000 members on my anime list. So why don't we have a chat about that? Despite it not being a series that I've watched a whole lot of, and given Jason's reasons as well, you know, it's hard to really, you know, pick out the standout for PA Works, unless, of course, you just go for the highest rated one, Shirobako. And Shirobako, we haven't finished yet.
Yes.
Right? You have watched the sacred, what I keep forgetting the name of it.
Sakura Quest?
Sakura Quest. You have watched that in full?
Yeah.
And then Aquatope, did you watch that one in full?
Yes.
Okay. Because I only watched an episode of that, but I don't know. That one seemed a little bit... It's weird saying it felt slow-paced for me, even though it is a slice of life workplace.
Let me be real about the four works of PA Works. Wow, it is a tongue twister. I would argue that Aquatope on the White Sand is the weakest of the four. I think Shirobako is the strongest of the four. I don't think... Sakura Quest is a close... It's hard when you're trying to, as you said, slice of life, because it's like mundane. It's like how would you kind of interpret when something is inherently mundane, but that's also its charm.
Yeah. And again, from your perspective as well, it's like, again, I'm not saying that like you shouldn't put in your personal biases or your personal preferences in here, but I can understand for you specifically, it's like if there is a certain show that you like and Hanasaku Iroha is not within that kind of boundary, it's understandable that you wouldn't be like, this isn't a personal recommendation, but at the same time, it's like, admittedly, when you compare Sakura Quest, Shirobako, and Aquatope, along with Hanasaku Iroha, that one, the latter one, really stands out as being like the one that is incredibly different from the other three, because the other three are more sort of like charming and it's sort of like aesthetic. They all look beautiful. PA Works does really good work. But the fact that, like, the melodrama, whether you subscribe to it or not, is something that is very much, like, a new, you know, it's a new take on what PA Works does when trying to replicate a workplace setting. And that's probably why, like, we wanted to recommend it. Like, look, Shirobako is popular as is already. Like, if we think PA Works and workplace, you go to Shirobako. That's probably why it's not on like our recommendations list, because we've talked about it before, mm-hmm. but also because you probably know it. But then, like, you know, you talk about we talked about Aquatope when we were doing that particular seasonal premiere. You mentioned that you weren't too sure where to place Sakura Quest amongst this quad, or, you know, how you want to describe it, right?
Yeah, like when I really think about it, the reason why I single out Hanasaku is because it is unique. And I think within that, right, the points that you made are extremely valid. And I really like that discussion at the end of the day, because it is a contrarian kind of view when I said a lot and then I kind of all of a sudden be like, yeah, but Hanasaku, yeah, fuck that. Even though I don't hate it at all. It is just a very... When one thing is the odd one out,
yeah,
it really just stands out.
Let's really get down to, like, the truth of the matter, which is you do like it, but
absolutely.
But if it comes to like not a GAP recommendation, but like a Jason recommendation, it's probably not the one that you jump straight to first. It's more like if you liked watching Shirobako, Aquatope, Sakura Quest, and you want to watch more of that ilk, this is probably something that whilst you might need to be a bit more emotionally and mentally prepared for, it could also work for you.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, this is not something that like a newcomer to PA works or the workplace in general would be like, this is the one you want to go for.
Because to be very fair, people who maybe less Shirobako, but let's say Aquatope and Sakura Quest, you would watch that and you'd be like, this is boring.
Oh, I mean, like, I was kind of bored, but like, admittedly, Aquatope, of the four that we talked about, I mean, like, I've only watched Shirobako and Aquatope, and I'll have you to be a reference for this as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aquatope looks fucking beautiful.
It does,
it looks amazing.
Absolutely.
It was a bit too slow for me, and I know it's very contradictory for it being an Iyashike slice of life.
It's contrarian within itself, right? But Hanasaku, though, I have to admit, is not like that at all. Like, if you're looking for something that is somewhat in the ilk of slice of life, but you don't like the mundaneness or too much in that direction, Hanasaku really is your jam. That's why it's so popular, even though it's so old, because it's really good. That's why they have a sequel movie, because people liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It's just not my jam.
I like that we say so old, but even then it's like there's
2011,
some,
there's, 2013.
Yeah, it's only really like 13 years ago. And even then, like, anime like of 13 years ago looks incredible for now too. Like, it's not to say that there hasn't been much progression in terms of how anime can look. It's just we've kind of reached that plateau where, like, this is as far as anime presentation can go.
I mean, who knew that the progressive artist's works would have progressive art?
Yeah, let's just give a shout out. Let's just, you know, clap to PA Works. I hope you guys keep on doing good-ass work. I mean, like, outside of just talking about the office and workplace stuff, like,
hey, Buddy Daddy's really good.
Buddy Daddy's is great. Skip and Loafer is great.
Yeah.
Your boy Kong Ming is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude,
They're fucking putting in work, man.
Yeah.
They also did
Angel Beats, didn't they?
Probably, like, Angel Beats is, like, way old, right?
But when you say way old, it's only a year older than Hanasaku.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
oh
my God. Came out in 2010.
2012 or 10? Okay.
When you're only
oh,
1 year
shit.
Older.
I don't... Is it because of the chibi look?
And that one is a school-based.
Is it because of the chibi kind of look?
I wouldn't say chibi, but it's very much like the more...
Wait, what was that? The visual novel one, the horror one. What's it called? Shit.
Another.
No, not another. In a village.
Oh,
and then there's
know.
Mysteries.
The only horror one I know of. We're talking about PA Works is another. Maybe you can take a look and see if you can find it. I think we.
It's not done by PA Works. The one I was thinking about. Okay. But I just forgot.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
I
know exactly what series you're talking about, but now you've also stumped me because I can't remember the name of it.
Fuck.
Now
it's just two dudes trying to fucking figure out something on the fly. And
Higurashi,
right. The chibiness.
Yes, you said Higurashi, not Higurashi. Yes.
Okay.
But no.
I learned, my man.
Yeah.
But it has that chibi look, right? No, not like...
A little bit, I suppose.
The old school,
in the sense that the main characters are of like a smaller frame and stature, I suppose. Yeah.
And the eyes are majorly huge.
They're not too... Well, whatever.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Fuck it. We're like really running off base. The point is... PA Works, with any of the four works that we have been kind of going back and forth on, is a no-brainer within this subgenre and slice of life in general. You really can't go wrong, even with the different variants within that slice of life workplace subgenre.
Yeah. So whether it be Hanasaki Iroha, whether it be Sakura Quest, Aquatope, or Shirobako, you're going to find something you like with... PA Works is works. It's going to be annoying saying that.
Yeah.
We move on to the next one, which is Agretzko.
So what if you are just really mad at your everyday doldrum life?
You need to just vent. You need to, you know, let things out. You need to scream at the top of your lungs. So you book out a karaoke room and just sing the heavy metal to your heart's content. That's what Agretzko is. Based on the characters created by Yeti for the mascot company Sanrio, big ass company.
The Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty, Keropi, the penguin one, I forgot his name. Then, you know, besides that, the anime series premiered on Netflix on April 20th, 2018, and there were three seasons in total produced by FanWorks. We're just going to go over the first season in terms of its score because the rest of them are kind of similar. Raw score of 7.64, ranked 1335, popularity 1302, which is interesting because I thought it would be a lot more popular given that a lot of people really, really like Agretzko.
So I think Agretzko is an interesting beast, and pun intended. The first thing is, rather than featuring human beings, it is animals that are essentially humanoids. I think there is a certain term when they are human, like humanistic of sorts. I mean, think
anthropomorphic,
like,
right?
Anthropomorphic, yeah. Think Odd Taxi, right? That kind of
Beastars.
Beastars. I mean, oh fuck, I forgot about Beastars. But yeah, like Beastars, except way more cutesy.
I think Beastars, like, you know, as good as the plot is, it's a 7.8 simply because of...
apparently, like, it's controversial at certain points, something like that.
Certain scenes that we will not talk about.
But Agretzko, though, it's also quite interesting because when we talked about... In fact, I think it happens in, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of the first episode where our main character literally goes into a karaoke booth to, like, vent out her frustration on whatever she has bottled up inside. And originally you might be like, okay, if I hear that, that sounds like a pretty somewhat normal way to vent. But then no, of the music tracks to decide to kind of vent out to belch out is like heavy metal. And the voice actress, fucking insane with the heavy metal. Like, we're talking like hardcore, like, was it like from the stomach, like gut wrenching
diaphragm,
like really good heavy metal singing. It is beyond crazy, all wrapped up in somewhat of a cutesy but weird, like, and by weird I mean it really strides the line between kind of like black comedy sometimes or just pure normal slice of life and comedy. There really isn't much to say beyond that because it's very much slice of life. And it is just really entertaining. And I think the whole kind of archetype premise of feeling the need to kind of scream out into the ether, into the horizon, to let the world be known that you exist, and even choose heavy metal on top of all that, is, I think, a very attractive kind of elevator pitch to literally anybody to kind of also dictate, hey, anime can be kind of like this too. It looks like it one way, but it actually is another thing entirely. And I really like Agretzko. I really don't think it deserves a 7.64. It should, I mean, in my opinion, it's like an 8.5.
It doesn't take itself seriously. Like, there's obviously like workplace romance in here as well, or at least like romance attempts.
Yeah, I would say attempts is more like it.
Yeah, but it's like you know what Agretzko wants. You know, like, at the end of the day, all she wants is to just unwind and scream at the top of her lungs to her beloved heavy metal. And just as an aside as well, I don't think you need to be a metal fan to enjoy this.
Absolutely not.
You just want to see somebody just vent out like their boredom and anger in a very, very comedic. And to be fair, for me, it's like, I like heavy metal. I don't know if I said it before. I've definitely said it before.
Well, you said it now.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, especially with, like, Sim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I couldn't stop listening to that when it first came out.
I mean, I like heavy metal, but I don't love heavy metal.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I can tell when you belch out in a certain way. It takes form and technique that is, like, no joke difficult. And when the voice actress can do that, fucking hilarious and fucking awesome.
Oh shit, what was that comedy series that you recommended to me that I absolutely
Detroit
loved?
Metal City?
No, that one. The three girls, the one that pretends to speak English.
Oh, Asobi Asobase?
I mean, like, that one. The ending.
The ending theme song?
Oh my god, it's so good.
Like, if you listen to the ED of Asobasi Asobase and you go, I kind of want a character that revolves around that archetype.
Yeah.
Agretzko is exactly that. Obviously, they don't focus that much on the karaoke stuff, although it is, like, sprinkled throughout. But it really encapsulates the frustration, the venting, and the release all in one go.
I think what is a major appeal for Agretzko is the lack of a plot, really. I mean, there is an underlying plot that, like, kind of connects all the characters together, but in the end, it's not something that you have to be super invested in to enjoy. So it allows for you to detach yourself from that reality and just enjoy seeing somebody lose their mind over something they absolutely love when the end of the workday comes.
It's also just really funny, the dichotomy between the art style, which is very... like chibi, like, I mean, if you look at Hello Kitty, but imagine Hello Kitty rocking the fuck out.
Yeah,
that is Agretzko. But yeah, so it's like, it looks cute, but actually they're talking about, like, serious everyday worries, and she's belching her heart out.
I mean, we don't need to give any more W's to Sanrio, but this one was a major dub. So,
because this came out of nowhere, in my opinion.
Yeah, we got a couple more suggestions. The next one, I think we can kind of go over,
yeah,
but
brush,
I
mean, over.
But then, like, we're talking about it again because it's really damn good. We're talking about The Masterful Cat Is Depressed Again, based on the ongoing manga of the same name by Hitsuchi Yamada, who did the story and art. It started off as a webcomic in 2017 and officially serialized in 2018. Published in English, as the Masterful Cat Is Depressed Again today by Seven Seas Entertainment as of 2021. The anime series premiered in summer of 2023 and was produced by GoHands. Now, when we did our anime retrospective of the last year, GoHands was a surprising winner. They did some pretty damn good work, and this was one of them. 7.67 for its raw score. The ranking and popularity are but I don't think that's a major point of focus here. Let's just talk about the anime one more time. The Masterful Cat... I hate for him to be depressed, but if that's how he's going to carry himself while he's depressed, I'm going to keep watching the anime because it's really damn good. I mean, I wasn't really that into it before going into the anime just because there's a lot of other stuff going on in summer 2023, but you got on it fast. You checked it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't know how I figured it out, but I think both of us wasn't going to really mention it
until... It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise hit, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I was like, this might be good. Actually, I think we were focused on the other GoHands, The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses. And even though we were gung-ho about both, I think The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses kind of didn't pan out too well, at least public reception-wise.
It's one of those... The first episode was really good, and then it tapered off. We're kind of seeing that trend with... a lot of series that's happening right now in this season. So, that's not about, you know, The Girl Who Forgot Her Glasses. Is it called The Angel Who Forgot Her Glasses or The Girl Who Forgot Her Glasses?
The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses.
Oh, no, because the one I was thinking was the Angel Next Door Smells Me Rotten. I mix those two up.
That's another thing, too.
Yeah.
But Masterful Cat, though, really does take care of her master. Or is it really her master? Because technically it is, because she comes home. And she is his owner, like her own.
His or her. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with, like, this series is that the main character, I would say, is the cat themselves, right?
Absolutely.
But they actually do not take part in the workplace. Rather, they are a fallout from somebody who spends so much damn time in the workplace that, you know, they have to cook a meal for them. They have to clean the house. They have to prepare, you know, groceries for the next day. They have to make sure that clothes are washed so that their owner has clean clothes to work in. You know, the next day they go back to the office. And when the owner comes back drunk, super late, and the food that they made was super cold, and I'm talking about this because I have experience doing this, it's depressing.
Yeah.
Because you spend so much time going out to buy groceries. I don't know why I'm venting, but...
It's all right. Here, sit on this laid-down couch. And
Okay, all right.
Unlicensed psychologist and therapist Jason will hear all your thoughts. But...
Oh, now you're a psychologist, too. Damn, you're adding another feather to your bow.
Yeah. I'm all about the mind, man.
Yeah.
The mind games, precisely.
So it is a bit of a different take on a workplace-based anime because of the fact that the main character, in our opinion, which is the cat, doesn't actually take part in the office.
Yeah, it doesn't. But I think, okay, one of the most hilarious things is, first of all, this cat is not like a fairy cat. No. It's fucking ginormous, yeah. All right?
And it happens to know how to walk on two legs and cook and also do other
like
sort chores. Yeah.
But the hilarious thing is, very early on, I'll just say this. The cat ventures outside the house because, hey, if you need to buy groceries, you probably need to go out and get groceries.
Yep.
And I just can't imagine, like, it's that sequence is so mundane of him going down the lift, going to the grocery store, getting the groceries, and then going back home to cook it. But during that time, the amount of reactions in the characters on the way or in the grocery store is fucking hilarious. Because you get like the old lady be like, oh, thank you for helping me get the grocery, the garbage bags as well. And then at the grocery store, people are like, oh yeah, that guy, he's here again. Don't worry about him. He's always here. Oh, you're paying by this? Oh, okay, good. It's not really a spoiler, but it's just hilarious that people are nonchalant or accepting of this masterful cat, all because he wants to take care of someone who comes home exhausted that he really cares about.
It's a bit of a take. Don't know if it's a hot take, but of the ones we've mentioned today for the recommendations, this is probably the one that I would...
It's the least
vouch for.
Well, oh, really?
I would vouch for... I mean, yes, it's not necessarily like... as workplace as the other ones, but it's something that I feel this is where I'm putting my personal bias.
Sure, in. No problem.
I kind of attach myself a bit more to, because mm-hmm. I've experienced both sides, in which I, you know, there was a period where like I spent a lot of time in the office and not a lot of time at home, and then for the last year or so when I was changing careers and all that, I spent a lot of time at home and preparing stuff for my significant other, and there would be times when they'd have to work overtime, or they would have to go to a corporate function, or like, you know, a friend's impromptu, like, said, let's go grab drinks. And I would be like, well, could have told me that you were coming home, because you weren't coming home yet, because I have prepared food for you, ironed your clothes and all that, you know.
What? So I don't count now? The fact that, like, yeah, you're right. I understand that kind of frustration.
Yeah, but it's also like it is again like another sort of one of those realistic depictions of what it means to work in a workplace. It doesn't just affect you yourself. Like, you have others around you, especially family members, that can be affected by how you operate yourself in and out of the workplace.
Yeah. I think like of all the recommendations, this one is the least kind of connected to the theme of workplace, because it's about coming home and taking care, and then there's a lot more dynamics that is actually not involved in the workplace.
Yeah.
So, but I just feel like it's still a good show, and the Iyashike elements of it, it kind of semi-counts. So that's why
it'd be remiss of us to not mention it again.
All right. Now, probably our last recommendation is probably the most close to, minus the PA works, as you can get to paperwork and civil service. I'm talking about Servant X Service, based on the completed manga of the same name by Karuno Takatsu, who did the story and the art. They also, he's the mangaka for Working. So that gives you some pedigree there.
Which one? The one with one exclamation mark, two exclamation marks, three exclamation marks, all of them?
I think that's just the anime. I think the actual manga is only two marks. Yeah. But
is that kind of
naming convention, my God, it's like, was it Devil's a Part-Timer level of shenanigans?
Season 2. Oh, this one I actually quite like, because of the fact that like you count the amount of seasons by how many exclamation marks it has.
Yeah, then there's like that, what, W Working?
Oh, yes.
That's a spinoff? Yes. That's just like, where does that fit in? It's a spinoff. But anyways, it's published in English by Yen Press, premiered in summer 2013, and produced by A1 Pictures. The anime has a score of 7.62, with the manga having a 7.60.
Barely any difference.
So, why is this anime good? Well,
why, Jason? Why indeed?
The first thing is, I need to tell you the setting. It is about civil service in the welfare department in Japan. And when you hear that, think of like a DMV in kind of American setting. And the mundaneness that comes with it. You get essentially three new hires first beginning minute of the first episode, and it's about their shenanigans. This show is actually very educational in learning, at least from a Japanese government welfare civil servant perspective, what they offer in terms of their services and kind of the everyday occurrences that happen, because you get the old ladies that just want to have company and stall for time, and all that kind of getting into disputes between child, you know, child support and stuff like that, which is kind of heavy stuff. But then it's played for gags. Like working.
Would you... Okay, this is more character specific.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have Lucy Yamagami anywhere close to your top 10 waifus?
No.
Because there seems to be a lot of debate on Reddit and YouTube and other avenues of the internet. That's
actually
really
not her full name, by the way.
What, it's just Lucy?
No, her... It's a gag. Let's just say her name on paper is really,
Lucy,
really long.
Lucy Kimiko Akie Airi Shiori Rine Yoshiho Ayano Tomika Chitose Sanae Mikiko Ichika.
Yeah.
And yes, it's quoted from my anime list. Her full first name, or at least as much as she's bothered listing. So it could actually be longer, because actually in the drama CD crossover with Working, to exclamation marks, the creator basically, well, not the creator, Hiromi Soma, I don't know who they're connected to, but anyways, stated her name. This is going to take a while. Yamagami Lucy Kimiko Akie Ari Shiori Rine Yoshiho Chihoko Ayano Fumika Chitose Sanae Mikiko Ichika Yukina Reina Eri Airi Tamiko Chikage Emilia Julia Sijue Erina Chisa Yumeka Natsumi Rana Rieko Setsura Chikaka. Still continues.
So why is that relevant to Servant X Service? Is because Lucy, one of her main motivations is to find out who the fuck made that technical error that gave her legally that long-ass name.
Yeah, that name is on her birth certificate.
And now she has gotten her way into the welfare department to find out who she can nail, like, you fucking did this to me. And then it turns out that... Maybe she finds out, maybe she doesn't. But it's also the other hire. There's a playboy that is really smart. Like, we're talking like suit smart. Like, oh, hey, I bet you can't, you're so useless. I bet you can't recite this ordinance and this law. And he goes, oh, this one? And then he just recites it. And then.
Is that Yutaka Hasabe or is that Sayama Miyoshi?
I probably don't have the name.
Or Taishi Ichimi. I mean, there's a lot of main characters.
Yeah, there's a lot of main characters because it's an ensemble cast. Yeah. Then you get the really passive female who is the third new hire that essentially just wants to do good and learn the ropes but is very timid and shy.
In terms of like a series where like the main character has like a personal vendetta to destroy their enemy, like this is probably one where the premise is outrageous. It also just sounds boring as fuck because it's clerical work, but for me it's like this is awesome. Right? You want to find out who fucked around with your name and that's about it. But hey, they made it work, man.
Yeah. And the episode is kind of split into gags essentially. And I kind of like it a lot, but it is not very earth-shattering if you want something that is kind of persistent storyline.
I mean, the fact that it's a four coma originally.
Exactly. That just gives you kind of an idea of
a four coma that only ran for about four volumes. So a total of 78 chapters, which when you factor in like how a four coma works, that's not very long.
It's not long at all. You can really consume it within like a couple of hours, if not
less. I was gonna say a day, but the fact, you know, it just sounds like, you know, like a 2-3 hour speed run.
Exactly. So the fact that they could kind of stretch it out over a cur is kind of admirable, and it kind of doesn't overstay its welcome, but it's not very wow. It's just like, oh, it's pretty good. So I gave it kind of a 7 out of 10, but it's a very good, still very good show. So that is probably the only time we can actually even say Servant X Service as a recommendation. I think that's how we even started with it.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Shiro Bako, it would probably be this, where she'd be like, if we're talking about workplaces, like,
this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we also have a bunch of, like, borderline recommendations, maybe recommendations. One, because we've either talked about it or it's a bit too recent, or it's because the fact that, like, the workplace setting itself is not necessarily the main focus of the series. So things like The Devil's a Part-Timer. I know that people are really ragging on Season 2 and Season 2 Part 2, whatever the fuck, because fuck naming conventions. But if you just focus on Season 1 in general, and the main character...
McDonald's, right?
McDonald's, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much, like, in terms of, like, anime meme lore, McDonald's is here to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically it. The one I actually thought that would be good to talk about, but I suppose it's because the fact that there was already a lot of recommendations, Life Lessons with Uramichi Onisan.
Yeah.
Which you were pretty... Not hyped, but you were like, this is, like, secretly pretty fucking awesome.
It's a dark horse candidate. So if I get into it real quick, in terms of just the premise, you know, Blue's Clues, The Children's Show, Barney, Sesame Street. Oh, it's
Dora the Explorer and all that.
Yeah, it's all really, like, really
fluff. What's that? That's a bag. What color is it? Brown. So it's a brown bag. And it's like that kind of thing where, like, you kind of get kids to sort of, you know, have more object permanence and, like, understanding of what colors are, what shapes are, and all that, just so they can, you know, recognize things.
And a lot of these kids shows, at least in Japan also, would sometimes even have kids actually physically there to, you know, interact with the host and the mascots, which takes place in this anime. But what if you are just so done with life? Not as in you want to end your life, but you're just like, hey, listen, kids, I'm going to fucking give it to you.
What is life about? Happiness, joy, fun. What else is it about? Crippling debts,
hard bad work,
bad health,
mortgages.
One day you're going to die. Yes, kids. That's absolutely true.
And then all the kids kind of be like, I don't know what's going on. And then all the camera crew is like, what the fuck? That is essentially the life lessons that you learn with Uramichi Onisan. It is a very dark comedy.
Yeah, imagine it's like Count Dracula from Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3 abortions. Ha, ha,
oh,
ha.
Shit.
Like that.
What the fuck,
like,
Will?
That would be the exact response you get from Life Lessons with Uramichi Onisan.
It is a very black comedy, right? So that's a recommendation of sorts for us.
Yeah, there's a few like you were pretty like you were pretty into as well. Ice guy and his cool female colleague. That one came out 2022.
Yeah, very recently. Yeah, and it's fine. It's a workplace slice of life romance, but it's just fine. And the whole like,
oh, sorry, it came out actually came out January 4th, 2023.
Oh, not I see. 22, yeah. So last year. But the thing that I was maybe was an iffy recommendation was because it just didn't really do a lot that it could have done, and it didn't really scratch the itch that other R recommendations did. Same thing with Amagi Brilliant Park. I mean, come on, it's fucking KyoAni.
Yeah.
They do amazing work. But I think I heard that the original, was it light novel that it was based on? It gets pretty dark, like really dark. And the season...
I mean, this is also a studio that did Clannad too, so...
Yeah.
They're not strangers to doing stuff that looks pretty on the outside, but is dark as fuck on the inside.
But they only had the one curse, so they never actually gotten that far. And right. I think it left on like a cliffhanger ending of sorts in the anime, so you really didn't figure out that much.
So you also talked about like Dogokobo, right? So where do you stand in terms of my new boss's Goofy? Oh, no, sorry, no, that's a different one. No, My Senpai's Annoying is Dogokobo. My new boss's Goofy is a different studio. But where do you stand with that series?
It's fine. I mean, when your boss is kind of goofy and gives you warm feelings because he's kind of a klutz, kind of absent-minded, but it's kind of the cute absent-minded. I think there are boy love elements in it, I think.
Undertones, yeah.
But it's more undertone, like BL bait, than actually romance, I guess.
A1 Pictures, actually. This is a studio, not Dokukoba.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, hey, a solid 8.00 on my anime list.
It's still really good, but I don't think it is kind of a very amazing show.
No reinventing of the wheel here, right?
Just a very good wheel.
Yeah. Now, this is one that it does not have an anime adaptation, but you also quite like as well. So that's probably why it's on the borderline recommendation. Smoking Behind the Supermarket with You.
Yeah. It's only a manga. I don't think there will ever be an anime.
And smoking is bad for you.
And smoking is bad for you. But it's essentially about two guy-girl kind of will-they, won't-they, that they met coincidentally because they have a cigarette break behind the supermarket that the female works at.
It's just one of those, I mean, you see the title, it's what you get.
Yep.
That's literally it. But it works, though, right?
Yeah, and the female actually has a kind of dual personality in the sense that she pretends to be a different person because she looks completely different when she's off the clock due to her looking very gothic versus her happy-go-lucky persona that she does when she works at the supermarket and the old guy. It's like an age gap romance. Think of like After the Rain.
Yeah.
That's really it. But except they smoke break
rather than have an interesting romantic relationship. Straight off the bat.
It's like a tease development thing that takes forever, will they, won't they type scenario.
I mean, After the Rain is like that, but After the Rain is interesting. I like it, but you can't deny that the premise of the series is...
questionable?
Very questionable. The last one that we will put in as a borderline recommendation, not just because it's a bit weird, but also the fact that it's probably the most non-traditional workplace setting of all of these... is Cells at Work. Now, it's a very classic series. They've also got Cells at Work Black,
which is really fucked up too.
Yeah. It's essentially, imagine a hospital, but instead of the hospital being an actual hospital, it's your body. It's all the cells and organisms that live within your skin and bones, and it's your white blood cells, your platelets, your red blood cells, and all the other different things that are keeping you alive.
Oh, what is that delivery dressed all in red? Delivering what? That canister? What is that? Oh, it is your red blood cells delivering oxygen to all the other cells in the body.
Yeah.
That's the type of work that it's like hidden under the guise of, oh, it's your fucking body.
If you liked Cells at Work, but you haven't watched Cells at Work Black, oh, you're in for a treat. Oh, man.
It's so fucked up.
I still remember the first episode. We were watching it, too, and we were just like... This got depressing so fast.
And it gets even worse. But Cells at Work is happy-go-lucky.
Did they end up making that Cells at Work COVID edition?
I think... No, they did.
They did, right?
They did, yeah.
Yeah. So, Cells at Work, definitely watch that one. So that wraps up our episode. So we've gone over some good recommendations, some of which are probably, like, you know, very much within the traditional workplace setting, some of which are a little bit more on the left field side. And we've also gone over some borderline maybe recommendations. But overall, I think that, we're all, well, based on the demographics of our listeners, like we're all grown up here. We've all experienced, you know, the workplace one way or another. So look, If times are tough for you or you just need something to do whilst you unwind from the doldrums of work, check out these anime. I think that, you know, you may not want to remind yourself of how tough, you know, working in a workplace can be, but these are also good ways for you to detach yourself from that reality and just give yourself a sense of escapism.
Or escape into our plethora of episodes that we have on your podcast listening platform of choice, right?
Yep.
I just want to say before I get into show notes and housekeeping is that I want to apologize about kind of a bit of my... I was a little bit triggered by the Hanosaku Iora.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
But I do think it's still a good show. So that's probably it for this episode. So thank you for listening. If you want to, we greatly appreciate you leaving a rating or review on your platform of choice. I think we also got maybe a couple of follows on our Twitter account lately.
Thank you all.
Yep. Shout outs to you guys. You can always contact us, though, through our email, gapalette@gmail.com, GAPALETTE, all lowercase, all one word. On Twitter, using the handle @PaletteGood, capital P and capital G, all one word, or through our various other platforms that are also in the show description, including our Discord server. We have a website. Encourage you to check it out, www.goodanimepalette.com, all lowercase, all one word. Okay, music credits for this episode. Our intro music is Flow to It by Typa. Our break music is Laser Drops by Hip Color. And our outro music is 2011 by Rocket Jr. You can support the music artists that we feature by listening to them on Spotify, Apple Music, or your music listening platform of choice. And Epidemic Sound provides all of our royalty-free music. If you're interested, you can sign up using the referral link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply. All right.
Yeah, no, I think...
It's kind of hard because it's a niche topic, right? Within, like, office, especially when we exclude F&B or somewhat non-traditional, because I really want to find an excuse to talk about Akiba Maid War, honestly.
I wanted to find excuses to talk about Blend S.
Well, let's just do a maid cafe and talk and combine it with what Terrace Goddess is.
Do you want to record that episode in a maid cafe? I don't have that much money, so I don't know.
I don't want to tempt fate, man. I've never been in a maid cafe, so
I haven't either. I've told you that my sister used to work as a manager at a maid cafe, and some weird shit goes down sometimes.
I think shit just goes down everywhere if you find it.
Yeah, deep enough. If your heart desires it, you will seek it, no matter how dark it is.
So, and I hope all of you seek good health and good times with this episode and everything that anime and manga offers. And I think that wraps it up. Any parting words for this episode, Will?
Yeah, hopefully you're watching or listening. No, not watching. Hope you're listening to this episode after you get off work. Don't,
Imagine you're listening during work and then, like, your boss taps you on the shoulder. It's like, what the fuck are you listening? And then...
Oh, Dude, they're arguing about Anasaku Iroha right now. It's like, oh, okay, no. Understandable. Take some off. You need to.
Mom and dad are fighting. I don't get it, guys. Mom and dad are fighting.
That wraps it up then, I suppose. Thank you all for listening to today's episode. We'll catch you all very, very soon. We've got another episode on the docket right now to record, and that will come out shortly after this one. So until then, hope you get off work. Enjoy your commute home, and just relax with some workplace anime.
Time to clock out.